Hello, Moana fellow exiles. Today we have a very wonderful guest on the Still Sane podcast. It is Balor Mage. Balor, how you doing, dude?
Absolutely fantastic. I've done nothing but Pee-wee 2, and I plan to do nothing but Pee-wee 2 for the foreseeable future.
So you've been blasting since day one?
Yeah, too many hours, but not enough hours also at the same time.
Okay, so we're what? We're like 20 days into early access, right? How many builds have you played, dude? How many?
Three?
Three? Okay.
Three. That's good. But no, I mean, I'm in like 92 on one and 90 on another. And like the third build. Oh, no, the third build is 92 again.
Oh, wow. Okay, so the third build surpassed build two. Way better.
Yeah.
I'd like to explore each of those with you.
A lot.
I'd like to explore each. Which one would you prefer to start with? Because I saw your fresh build.
This third one that I'm playing now. That's by far the best. But
all right. So it's a monk, right? You want to dive into it a little bit?
Yeah. So here, the problem is definitely going to get nerfed. We're not breaking anything. There are no bugs. But the real important bit is it almost doesn't matter what attack I'm using, so long as I can chill.
Okay.
The entire thing is, I don't know how to say it, pulsericulin sapphire ring. I don't know how to say that. But it's close. Enemies chilled by your hits can be shattered as though frozen. Herald of Ice can't freeze, but it does chill. Which means as long as I kill something, Herald of Ice explodes, and then Herald of Ice hits something which will chill it, and as long as it dies, Herald of Ice explodes, and then it just goes crunk and just does this nice crunch sound until it runs out of mobs to hit.
That's crazy.
And it just there's no limit. It just goes right. And so it's clearing like juiced up breaches in three screens in every direction from a single hit.
Yeah, I think the Nerf Hammer might be coming for that, but it's definitely intended. Like, the wording is sound. You're good.
I'm not, there's no bug here, but I suspect Herald of Ice can no longer freeze or chill. It is coming.
That's what I
suspect is happening. Herald of Ice can no longer freeze or chill. Because, the ring is cool, and it would make it so that if you do, like, a big AoE hit somewhere, but you're not good enough to freeze, you could still get that Herald of Ice explosion. And I like the idea of exploding a whole pack like that. That's fantastic. Perhaps exploding three screens in every single direction all at once off just a ring? Probably not.
And when you are using Ice Strike quarterstaff on a monk, and you're just flying in like every which direction, hitting like two mobs, and then I saw the video and just everything dies. I was like,
you just attack once and move and attack once and then move, and then I'm limited by movement speed. That's it, because everything on the whole screen dies. I can actually kill rares quicker if there are mobs around them,
right?
Because like the Herald of Ice is huge. Like, and I'm not even doing the tri-elemental stacking thing or anything. Some people have done, like, Pillar of the Caged God, and they end up with, like, 400% AoE.
Uh-huh.
And that all affects the Herald of Ice. So their chains can jump between packs that my chains can't.
Uh-huh. See, that's a cool interaction. And it's working with a Path of Exile classic, which is Herald of Ice. So would you say it's as satisfying as a lot of those Herald builds in Path of Exile 1 with the pops, if not more so?
Yeah, if not more so. The Herald of Ice, the beautiful thing about Herald of Ice and Pee-wee 1 is that shatter sound that we've been all hopefully in love with for like 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think this one's even better.
Ooh, that's a bold claim, man. You better be careful with that.
I think this one's even better. And because Pee-wee 1, when you do the whole screen blow up thing, it does all happen at once. Mm-hmm. No matter how much damage I have in Pee-wee 2, it doesn't all happen at once. It happens over the course of like half a second, but you get to see this wave of and that's very cool. Also, I think I have to mute this Discord. Not the call. The notifications. I just heard them.
Oh, you're totally good. I didn't hear them on my end, so we should be set.
Oh, good.
Yeah, the effects too of ice shatters in Path of Exile 2. That's one thing that really have nailed, and I have not seen many people really complaining about. It's the visual effects, dude. Visual effects, the sound effects, the environments, the maps especially. I thought they did a good job with the campaign, but some of these maps are just beautiful, even if they are arse to run, you know?
Yeah. You know, most of the maps are really good, though. Like, most of the maps I like.
I was talking about that earlier. People in chat were complaining about map layout, and I can only really think of one map that stands out to me. Balor, come on, what's the map? Should we say it on three?
Because there's two.
Two. Well, see, maybe I haven't encountered it yet because I'm not that far into the game.
The one most people hate the most. I bet it's the one you're thinking.
All right.
Augury.
Augury. That's it, man. Yeah. My first
I
map.
Don't hate that one the most.
Really?
That's my What's second the other most hated map.
Okay, number one?
Maya.
Why is it Maya?
Because every single place where you have to walk is this thin little hallway that's like barely the size of your exile. Who designed it? I don't know if you've tried to take a minion build through any of them, but you can't cross any bridge in Maya with a minion. A single minion doesn't make it across.
Wait, I thought you don't collide with minions in PoE 2.
No, I can walk over. They get stuck on the other side.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, they just all get left behind. You're like, I've got an army of 20 minions over there.
Well, this is obviously intentional design from Grindgear Games to halt the progress of minion builds, which move at a much quicker pace than other builds. So you got to path around Mire on the Atlas, okay? So every time you hit a Mire, you just go around, and then you're totally fine. Is the Rock Queen the boss of Mire as well? You know, the one that squeezes the mud? Oh, I can't remember if that's her map as well.
I think it's Motorbike Lady.
Oh, and Mire. Oh, see. Yeah, see. Haven't bothered
there. I think.
Maybe. You're probably right.
I don't know because, like, I started avoiding it.
Right. That's smart. I'll give it a go. And if it's as bad as you say on my monk, which has uninhibited movement, then it'll be added to my list. But right now, it's just Augury. Augury's the bad one. Deserted. Mostly seems deserted, I will say.
Do you really think Augury is that bad if the levers were just things you clicked on the way past?
No. If I was not locked into the animation, I'd be fine with that.
Uh-huh.
I can't dodge out of it, which is crazy. And I think is probably an oversight. I think.
All right. Since like 95% of the things that I have to say about PoE 2 are positive, but five are not. Do we want to do the negative stuff first?
Yeah, usually it's like the good, bad, and the ugly, but we could do the reverse. The ugly and then the good, right? Because there's nothing in between.
Because there's like, it's 95% positive, but I've got some just like, there's one thing in particular that I want to, complain about, I guess.
Hey, this is your field. Go for it, dude. Go out.
I feel like there's a list the size of my arm of problems we solved in PoE 1 over the last 3 to 4 years that just made a magical resurgence and in some cases in worse forms in PoE 2, as if we didn't already learn all of these lessons over the past several years. Like, did we not have problems in PoE 1 that were huge problems with every single invite to every single level of the boss being the same token and having a monetary value so high as to be relevant to the absolute max juicer top 0.5% bosser person and how much reward they can get out of running maps all day. Meanwhile, average Joe can't even do the first invitation level because even if you got a good reward at that level, it wouldn't be worth it, let alone risk failing it because it's priced up here when you're down here. Yet every one of our boss invitations for all of our points is now incredibly high priced because they're based around max difficulty fights. And now I've only got one portal to even attempt it, which is fine if that's what you want to do. That's a different conversation. I'm actually great with the one portal in mapping, a little bit questionable in bossing, but that's a different thing. Mm-hmm. But now I have to take this risk. I intentionally don't want to see the fight beforehand, so the chances of me dying are relatively high. And now, to even have an attempt, I'm competing, or I'm choosing to give up, rather, like, in some cases, like, 6 div? For the ritual boss? I don't have a ritual point yet. Because if I get one, well, it could be 6 div. Or I could try it, but I don't know the fight. It only takes one screw up. I'd be like, oh, I didn't know that big slam looked like that, and I was standing in it. Whoops, dead. There goes 7 div. Bye. We learned this in PoE 1 already about 3 or 4 years ago. Not only did we have a bunch of rants about it, hundreds of rants about it, I had a rant on a podcast about it before the league even came out that did that, saying how big of a problem it was. And then it took several leagues, and then there was a post from GDG saying, hey, we've noticed this is a thing everyone's unhappy with. This is why they're unhappy with it. And they nailed it. They were perfectly on point. And then they were like, this is the solution. We're going to make these little like quest invite to things. And like now everyone gets like entry level fights that can't be fought. And now the Uber token is this and the this token is that. And like we solved it. And we're like, okay, well, that was a good lesson learned. But then we're here in PoE 2 and it's the same thing that we already learned is a problem being a problem again. And this shows up in like a bunch of different areas. A bunch of problems we've already solved, we already learned from, are back, and I don't know why.
I think that's a W rant, Valor. And throughout the campaign, I didn't notice any of that. I was having the time of my life progressing into endgame, and as soon as I stepped foot into maps, the shift was almost immediate. As if, oh my god, this used to be a thing in PoE 1. That was fixed, and now, oh my god, here it is in PoE 2. Like, the whole... I think you hit on a really good point with the boss invitations, and even the opening fight is now being priced at the max cost of the, you know, the highest tier fight, which is terrible. Yeah. Where is, like, a story invitation? Where is the chance for someone like myself to fight some of these bosses? I just looked at my slash played on my monk. I am at 2 days, 12 hours, and I have not fought any pinnacles, and I am like a veteran, and my playtime Balor, this is my playtime the farther away from launch that we're going to get. So I'm looking, I'm like, I'm literally not going to be able to fight any pinnacles. This is ass. Come on.
Just yesterday was the first time I got any of the side points that came from outside of the Atlas. I killed the breach boss 3 times, and that's the first time yesterday. And if I just really quickly open up my Steam, I currently have 311 hours played. Now, I know I wasn't focusing them. I know that I'm not I'm not one of the boss rusher people, right? Like, I know that, but I am a veteran player who's played for like 30,000 hours of PoE 1, who has 300 hours in the game so far. And 3 characters above level 90, and I have done a total of 3 encounters.
That's
and I did wild. All of them yesterday. That's crazy. Where are they?
I hope to all hell that this is not how they envisioned it, but maybe it was. Maybe it really was, and these are truly aspirational. When it was pitched to us, you know, oh, you're going to work your way up to the tier 4 boss encounters after you fight them multiple times. They know that this is a seasonal game. How the hell are people going to dedicate that much time to get to those levels in this current system? I just feel like a lot of changes are going to come through, at least on that endgame part. Totally agree with your with pointing out that these are PoE1 solutions that we've already encountered by the same dev team. I'm really wondering, when they pivoted to the endgame focus 3 or 4 months ago, it was lit. I might be totally off base. If it was literally like, they didn't have any endgame and they were just like, get it out there. We need to get it out right now. All these systems in place at the most base level. And okay, we'll think about fixing other things later. Maybe that's what happened. Yeah, because
maybe.
I don't know.
But like, in my brain, solutions. So the problem is, I'm not a developer. I don't know how hard things are.
Me neither.
Right? I have no concept of how difficult it is to make any change at all.
Yep.
But it's hard for me to imagine a world where, if we just use Breach, for example, it's hard for me to imagine a world where you can't say, on an average drop rate of how long it would take someone to drop around about 150 splinters, your first quest invite for breach points will drop. And at around the time where you have 300 splinters, where you'd get your first real one, your second quest invite would drop. Now, I don't think that they should all be quests. I actually kind of like that they can be a marketable thing that you sell to people and that you have to make that decision at the end. But you shouldn't be judging your first chance at points on that. So I would do this for all of the mechanics in my mind. You would get two quest versions, a super easy one, the first one, and then a significantly more difficult one for the second one. And that would be your first two sets of points, 4 out of 8, in every single mechanic that should be just guaranteed to everyone with no monetary loss. If you play this thing, if you play breaches, if you put breaches on your map, you will get quests, the quest fights, and you will be able to do them. Now, I've gotten to buff breach by 2 nodes of my choosing. And now I get to choose, as a player, am I enjoying breach? Do I want to buff this up more? Has putting these points in made me enjoy it so much I want to go fight that boss and invest further? Or am I feeling a little bit meh about breach on this character and I don't really care about it, and maybe now I'll sell my invites instead? I don't want them. I haven't really enjoyed breach on this character. I'm an expedition guy. That's been way more fun. I'm going to sell my breach one now. I'm not going to bother. Those are now the tokens that are tradable, and those would be used to get the last 2 points. And just do that for everything. Give everybody 2 fights that are for free, that are quest ones. You still have to invest in the mechanic. You still have to play. If you fight it and you fail a quest, just like in PoE1, if you fight it and you fail a quest, the very next breach will guarantee redrop that quest for you so that you can do the questing and you can practice it over and over again. Same thing in every other mechanic. Give us those 4 points for just playing the mechanic. Then let us choose whether we want to sell into the market or not.
I think that's an elegant way of doing that. Even something as simple as, okay, you need to do 20 different maps with breaches before you encounter Zesht for the first time at the freaking basic level. And then you can further invest, like you said, to fight the actual normal version and everything. I feel like I am fighting for my life trying to do things other than normally map. And that includes fighting bosses. And that is such an odd feeling. I was skeptical about the one portal thing beforehand. When I learned that you lose the boss, I thought you just had to do it in one go with the boss maps, and they were going to be every 1 in 4. When I learned that boss encounters were special encounters, I went up again. I'm done with the one portal thing. They need to either make bosses a part of these 1 in 4 maps because they're so freaking rare, or they need to give maybe like 3 chances for whites and 2 chances for yellow, some sort of scaling system. Because I don't know. I feel like there's just a lot of changes that could happen in the end game, especially.
I'm 100% on board with mapping only having one portal.
Okay, go. Why?
I think it's going to take a while for everyone to adjust, including me.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit, and I know people are going to push back on it.
Do it.
I need a better way to phrase this. I know people are going to push back on it.
It's just
a little bit of that feeling that I got, that I used to get playing hardcore. Not all of it, but like a little bit of it, where it matters and what I'm doing matters. And if I screw it up, I have lost something. But it's not a lot. It's not like hardcore. I didn't lose everything. I just lost the stuff on the map. I don't think that extends to any of the bossing encounters. Right. Having bossing encounters with single portals is absolute trash. That is a terrible mechanic. I think you should give all six portals back to bosses. Or if you want to be a little bit mean about it, potentially three would be fine. But I think that the boss should completely reset if you die.
Yes, yes.
We're starting from the beginning. You do have to kill it in one go, but I get to try again.
Agree. I totally agree on that second point. I'm going to push back on that first point, you butt. Okay,
go.
I would be on board with the one portal for map if the most dangerous things on the maps were the freaking monsters. Balor Man, the only thing I'm dying to is on death of I'm not kidding you. The only The only thing I am dying to is on death. And what do? I don't dodge monsters. I freaking dodge after the monster dies because I'm like, oh shit, that rare had a freaking volatile plant. I'm dead if I don't dodge. I hate that. In the campaign, I was dodging monster attacks and I was like, oh shit, it's the drowned hags. Oh my god, those drowned orbs. Damn, those are annoying, but I was interacting with the mechanics. With this, it's just, oh, rare mob. Okay. I'm going to have to dodge after I kill it because it might be an on-death effect. Oh, there's the expanding circle. Oh, we got to watch out for that. I would be on board if it was a bit more readable. I thought PoE 2 would be more readable than PoE 1 currently. I don't think it is.
All right, two angles. Two angles of that. One, go CI. Yes. You're immune to all the on-death effects. Two, this is... I agree. That is a huge problem. That is absolutely a huge problem. I think those are unrelated problems. And I think you do a disservice to change one based on the other.
Right. Right.
Right. And those are not related problems. Yes, that's causing friction with One Portal Gaming right now because you wait 12 seconds and you're like, I'm definitely safe. I'm going to go pick up this loot now. There's no mobs on my screen for the last 12 seconds. And then the time it takes for whatever the explosion to have is a variable integer that's based on the amount of time it takes the player to believe they're safe. I'm convinced. So, like, it's how long it takes to explode is however long you think you need to wait plus half a second.
This is true. This is true. It's happened. Okay. I have video proof.
Yeah. So I think that's a separate problem, though.
I think you're right. Do you think that they'll change that?
Yeah, nobody likes it. It's trash. What do you mean?
Well, that's one of the things that, you know, that we learned in PoE 1, and I feel like just the start of PoE 2, it's almost been doubled down upon because that is literally what's killing. It's not a boss move that I didn't freaking dodge or anything. It is not porcupines. Okay, it's not those.
Here's the thing. The default reaction a lot of people get is, why are there on death effects at all? But I don't think that's fair either. There are some good on death effects in both games. Yeah. There's the giant, bloated, overweight fat lady who, like, boom. If you died of that, that was your fault.
Yep.
That's a great mechanic. In PoE 1, there's bearers. Bearers are fantastic on death effect. You kill a whole group, and then there's just a bunch of bright circles on the ground that take like 4 seconds to explode. Don't stand there.
Bearers. The difference. Bearers? What? Bearers?
Bearers.
Bearers.
Okay.
Holy.
Bearers? Is this a pronunciation problem? You know what bearers are. The chat, blue pack.
Chat, bearers, PoE1. What?
The blue packs that each drop individual little round orbs on the floor with circles that explode. What do you mean? Bears. Bearers.
What? The barons people that do the little missiles? Those guys?
No, what? What do you mean?
Bearers. Oh, bearers. Oh, I was mishearing you. Bearers. Okay.
Bearers.
I thought you were saying bearers, like a barista. I don't know what I'm... I don't know.
Right. Well, like, those, okay.
I got you.
Those are good on-death mechanics, right?
Right.
The difference to me between a good on-death mechanic and a bad on-death mechanic is timing and visual, and like, visualness. There's a word for that that's better than what I just used.
Visual clarity, maybe?
Clarity.
Boom.
Timing and clarity. I should always know there's an on-death effect happening, and I should always have an appropriate amount of time to counterplay it. And if I don't have both of those things all the time, your on-death mechanic is garbage and it doesn't belong in the game.
Yeah, I agree with you on the well-telegraphed ones. And it is just a snap reaction to I don't even... So, it does put in me that hardcore sense, and that does feel good when I get through a map successfully. I do get that little feeling of excitement, but dang, every time I die to an undead effect, it just pisses me off beyond belief. If they could balance that properly, I do think in the long run, it is a positive. So I've been two weeks into early access. Day two, I released a video that got me a crap ton of hate saying, let them cook. They've got a lot of new ideas. Let's hope they don't change them instantly. Ooh, I got cooked for that one. I got cooked for that one so hard, and then GGG instantly changed the dodge roll. They instantly buffed loot, and I was like, well, okay, GGG changed it. They agree with you guys. And you know what, dude? I disagree with Grinding Gear Games. I think the dodge roll change was bad.
No, it was so good.
No. Okay. Oh, let's talk about that really quickly.
Okay.
Bro, you make a mistake, you get surrounded. You got to fight out of it, or you just don't make that mistake next time. Come on.
Yeah, okay. No, yes. Yes, you could still get surrounded and stopped, and you can still not be able to dodge roll out. I'm going to tell you what's different. If you go into solo self-found right now and you restart the exact same character you had with no gear again, you will find that you can still get surrounded. The difference is you're more powerful now, and that's not happening as much. The dodge roll didn't stop you from being able to get surrounded. The dodge roll stopped you from being able to get stopped by the tiniest little bug that we should be able to walk over. It has to be some more size to the mob. If a mob is roughly the size of an exile, it is still big enough to block you in every way. If a mob comes up to my ankle, I can now roll around it. That feels better.
I liked the scarabs killing me, okay? You can't convince me otherwise.
No, that was terrible.
I died like 10 times. And every time I was just like, no, this time it will be better. And no, of course, they surrounded me. They killed me. And it was me being dumb. And then I changed up my strategy. And bam, one shot that entire area. But it forced me to play differently. And I did like that feeling, at least in the campaign. And by the time I got to the end of the campaign, that change had already gone through. So I didn't get to experience it in the end game. I don't know if it was more egregious in the Atlas.
My argument is that feeling didn't go away.
Hmm.
You outgeared it.
Yeah.
And we got rid of the worst, most egregious 20-30% of that problem.
Okay.
Right? The bits where it was all just swarms of little tiny bugs, that went away. But we didn't lose the ability to I've just mispositioned. I've backed myself into this little tree against a wall, and now I can't get out. And I'm like, I'm going to die. And I can't roll it. I'm going to die. Oh, I'm dead. That still happens.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen from a tiny little cockroach.
Okay.
Well, it's just the difference is now your character has enough damage that if you happened to find yourself in a corner, you wouldn't be desperately trying to get out anymore. You would just hit the things in front of you and then they would die and then you would walk away.
Right.
Because you have enough power now. You didn't have that level of power on day one.
True. I'm going to start a hardcore character very soon, Balor, so I'm going to report back to you if that does happen to my poor little sorceress, okay? She gets surrounded by zombies or whatever, backed up against the wall. I'll report back. I hope that happens. I guess I'm masochistic, I guess. Is that the right word?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, so am I. I want the one portal maps to stay, so.
True. It is rewarding. I do, about the one portal thing. Yeah, if they don't change it for bosses, I don't see myself not watching a spoiler video before fighting the boss. Because if we don't have a reset until March, and I literally am playing my monk until March 10th, and I finally, after, I don't know how many hours I'll be able to play. Probably not much more. Let's say I get it to 150 hours, and I finally get a spoiler of spoiler token, and I get one try. Dude, I don't want to get one shot the moment I step into that place.
But it's so much worse than that.
Oh?
it's so much worse than that, because right now, your advice to a non-top 5% player should be buy a carry for every single point. Ugh.
So bad,
that's
Balor.
The worst fucking... I don't want to give that advice to her. Oh, I'm playing Path of Exile for the first time. I just finished my Breachstone. This is my first character. Yeah, you should launch it and then pay some strong person to come and one-shot it for you. That's your only play.
Hate it.
That's terrible. I don't want to tell people that. That's horrendous.
I really want to go in blind to these encounters, but I feel like I can, especially with the one portal thing. And that sucks.
You can do breach blind. I will say that.
Zeshed can do blind.
You can do the breach bomb blind.
I feel like that from what I saw of the little snippet.
Good.
It looks very telegraphed.
Without spoiling any of the fights, good notes. I've only done breach so far, so I hope all the rest are like this. The telegraphs and indications are on what is happening in the fights are so much better designed than not just POE1, but any other ARPG or maybe even game I've ever played.
Wow.
I felt like I knew when I was in danger, even if I didn't know exactly what was going to happen. I knew that, like, this area is probably not a good place to be anymore. And I also knew over there looks safer, even though I didn't know what was happening. And so quite often I'd be like, oh, I'm going to run away a little bit. I'm going to stand over here and safe and see what the thing is that's about to happen in that region that was in danger. And then I'm like, oh, okay, well, now I've seen what that move is. And now I sort of know what's, like, I can go back over there again.
I love that. That's how a lot of the boss fights felt during the campaign. I really enjoyed that whole atmosphere. And it's weird because I hate Souls-like games. I'm so bad at them.
Me too. This is nothing like Souls.
This is nothing like Souls-like. I think one thing that really puts me off from Souls-like is the camera angle. Maybe I'm just in love with the isometric camera angle and just the way you can control your character in this as opposed to something like Elden Ring. But I just feel like I'm in so much more control in POE2 of my character movement, especially with WASD and everything so responsive. And in a lot of those boss fights, it was like, oh yeah, that was on me. I know exactly what I did wrong in the campaign fight. All right. Going again, trying it again. I know what to avoid this time. So,
which again, if you had 6 portals to fight these pinnacle bosses, but they reset all the way to the beginning every time.
Yep.
I could definitely learn that fight.
Yeah.
Give me the 3 or 4 portals and I've figured everything out. By the time I get to portal 6, I will kill that thing.
Oh yeah.
But by the time I build 6 breach stones, I've quit the league. It's time over. I've only found 3 so far. I've done 300 hours. How many hours do people average in a league?
Not that much, bro. Not that much.
Like, I've probably already played more than most people play in POE1 leagues before they stop.
I bet if I went to my POE1 character that I got 38 out of 40 challenges on for Settlers of Kelgar, it was less than 300 hours. I could guarantee you. I bet every single league in the past few years has been less than 300 hours for me.
I do about 1,000 hours a league on average. Which is about 330 a month.
Yeah.
Wow. Assuming they were 3 months. Well, no, I guess they've been 4 month leagues. So I guess it's like 250 hours a month normally. POE2, I've done like 300 hours in 2 weeks.
Okay.
But like,
okay, so that's an excellent segue, Balor. Despite our qualms with the game, obviously, we are enjoying the game, right?
Oh, it's the best.
That was the 5% of negative. What makes POE2 stand out to you? If you could pick out a few features, just, you know, out of the hat, essentially, of things you love, what would come out of the hat?
Okay, the first one's a huge surprise because I was hating on it beforehand, before it started. Huh? Last movement.
Peak.
I hated the idea. I told everyone, this is stupid. I'm never going to use WAST. I'm like, this is the dumbest thing. WAST is stupid. We had WAST movement in games 20 years ago. We progressed to this. And I'm like, and I was a big like, look, I will try it because it's new, but I'll try it just to show you that I've tried it and it's trash. And I was like, all right, I'll put it on day one. And then by the end of day one, I was like, oh, I don't know. I need to eat my shoe or something. This is actually fucking great.
The responsiveness, man. It's so good.
Yeah.
And what did you start on? I know you're a monk now.
I started a minion build.
Minion build? Well, then I don't even know. Maybe it felt great. But on builds where you're actually doing something. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. But like a monk where you're using your various abilities and they move with you, or you need to face certain directions. Like you need to maneuver around the battlefield. Yep. Feels so good. Oof.
Yeah, it's so good. Well, and I was such a hater on it before.
Okay.
I was like, nah, it's going to be trash. And then I did eat my words. I was wrong. My bad.
Okay. WSD? W?
The next thing I love that's standing out more than anything else is the gems and support system.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say Ascension. So let's talk about the gems.
Yeah. So gems, there's some exceptions. Like the way we get gems for alts is awkward and we need to be able to down-level things and have a scale, but that's a whole different thing. But just not worrying about alts.
Yep.
The way that I have to pick what supports go in what things, instead of just knowing what the best three supports are and putting them in every skill I have, is so much better.
Mm-hmm.
It's become a whole thing. I've been playing this monk for several days, and there are so many different setups. I've tried to look at everyone else's build. I've been linked stuff from chat, like hundreds of different setups. There's so many different setups for the Tempest spell. There's so many different setups for the Charged Staff. There's so many different setups for my main attack. And there's like pros and cons to every single one of them. And like, there's even support gems still missing that we don't even have. There's going to be even more options. But like, if you didn't force that on me, then like, everything gets primal armaments, everything gets this, everything gets that, and it's just the same. You pick the same ones that give the most amount of damage, you just put them on everything. And that's so boring. And then also, and I think people aren't using this enough, because there are so many supports, and you can only use one on each, I think this is heavily, heavily underused right now. Over the next few months, people will get more used to it, more build guides will include it and stuff. But all of the support-related support things that can go on all your utility abilities?
Yeah.
Like, almost everything I have is, like, four-linked.
Yep.
Like, even just my Wind Dancer, for instance, which is just
all your spirit stuff.
More evasion, right? But even that, without increasing the cost at all, ends up getting Energy Barrier. So it just starts energy shield recharge if I ever get stunned from a melee hit, which is, I'm CI, so it happens often. So you get hit, you get your energy shield back, some of it, and then energy shield recharge starts immediately and can't be interrupted for 2 seconds. And then it also has pin and lockdown support in it, which doesn't sound like a lot, but now I have a little AoE explosion that happens around me if I get hit by melee that starts my energy shield regen, pins enemies that hit me to the ground and stops them from moving for like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
That's just one of my supports. It cost no extra spirit. They were support gems I wasn't using in my other stuff anyway. And then that happens 5 different times over your character if you use them. People should be really, really actively trying to at least 4-link every ability. There is so much like little utility here. Like, that doesn't sound like a lot of utility. Like, that's useful. But then when that, it's useful, but it's not huge. But that happens 5 times and the power of your character goes through the roof.
Definitely.
If you can find a way to use stuff.
Yep. It was life-changing when I added cannibalism, I believe, to Wind Dancer on my monk.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was having recovery abilities and everything. Just instant change, not dying as I wade into packs anymore. Just those minor changes are really cool. And there's, like you said, so many things that aren't even in the game yet. And even with all the different options we have now, I have looked at numerous other Ice Strike and Tempest Flurry builds and like Mobalytics and everything. Completely different setup to what I have. I'm trying them out. Some of them feel less powerful. Some of them feel more powerful. Like they all feel distinct though, which is a great thing for GGG to achieve here, I think.
And then So a great thing is, we've both played Monks, and I'm on a Monk right now, so I'm using that as the example, but like everything has this, right? But like charged staff, for instance, that's a very cool buffing skill, but it's not just a buffing skill. I can use it as a damage skill. And I've seen setups, and I've used a setup where I put a bunch of damage links in it, and it does do more damage. But I had to take one or two of the good damage skills, and I had to take them off my ice strike to do that.
Yep.
Now, was it more damage overall? Probably, yeah. But then what else could I do with it? Well, it's still a pretty good buff skill to add more damage to my thing. So I've now tried and seen setups where they go maim, blind, and then the one that makes the slows happen more that I can't remember the name of, encumbrance.
Okay.
And stuff like that. And they've put all of those in it. And now they've got now those two really good damage supports that they used in it to help buff everything get to go back in my main hit. So now my main hit hits stronger. But now charged staff is happening, applying to practically everything, and is blinding every mob, and is maiming every mob, and is slowing every mob, and we can do that sort of stuff. And then there's other people that have put culling strike with it so that it culls.
Yep.
And then there's a one that says recover 5% of energy shield if this hit kills an enemy, and so they're culling with it, but every rare and unique throughout the map gives them a bunch of recovery. And like, okay, so that's a setup. Then there's the setup I'm currently using, which I don't know whether I'll keep it or not, but this is like the third or fourth setup I've tried, which is electrocute and neural overload. So I've given up the ability to shock with that one, which I did because I slotted Hand of Wisdom and Action into my build. I am not a stat stacker. It's just a regular monk, but stacking, putting Hand of Wisdom and Action in was still like a 20% damage up, so it was great. But because I can now shock with my ice strike, I have enough lightning damage. I was like, I don't really need shock to come from my charged staff. So I put electrocute in it. So instead of contributing to shock, it now contributes to electrocution. And then I put neural overload in it so that it happens at 80% of the threshold instead of 100% of the threshold. And now when I'm attacking a mob, I first freeze it. Then when it comes out of freeze, it gets electrocuted. Then when it comes out of that, the stun buildup is full. It gets stunned. And by that time, the reduced effect of freeze has fallen off and I refreeze it. So now I'm cycling through crowd controls with it. But all three of those setups are valid, good ideas. And there's still more. And it's the same thing. And this is all happening because I can't just double up my supports. Because if I could just double up my supports, then like three or four of the best supports would be on both of them, and I'd have like one support to play with.
It's
right?
Beautiful. It's beautiful. And two skills we're talking about here. And there's just and all these possibilities. As four links, essentially, too. Do you like the chase for the Greater Jeweler's Orb and the Perfect Jeweler's Orb?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And not maxing it out literally, you know, day one, have my main skill already.
I also love that level 20 skills are expensive and hard to get as well.
Mm-hmm. I like it as well.
It was, I didn't right away. It felt weird, but it took me a while to like separate my expectations from POE 1 to adjust to here. Because my first thought was, wait, so every time I make an alt, I need to buy a 4 divine level 20 gem and a 6 divine level, ability to 6 link something. So every alt just to test something cost me 10 divines. And I was like, no, it doesn't. Because you don't need a 6 link.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't need that to beat everything in the game. You don't.
Yeah. And I was like, okay. So I had to like change my own thought process before it felt better. And that was a weird adjustment. But like now I'm like, oh, it's fine though, because like getting 5 links is actually very cheap. Getting a 5 link you can turn into a 6 link is more expensive. But if you just want your first 5 link, 4 linking something and valing it, practically free. Yeah. You can do that 6 times in a row and be like, oh, there it is. There's my 5 link. Okay. Now I can't add quality to that one and I can't 6 link it later. But like, that's a problem for later, right? Right now I can get a 5 link real easy.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. It was an adjustment for sure, but I do quite like it.
Okay. And I know another thing that you were a little... I think when we talked about it on the pod a while back on Faded Connections, you were a little trepidatious about the fact that one button builds or kind of like AFK builds wouldn't exist in PoE 2.
Yeah, they exist as fine to worry about.
What? Say again?
They exist as fine to worry about.
I know, I was going to say. So you've made like an AFK semi Pathfinder build. What's going on? Can you talk about that a little bit for people?
Okay, so I did end up abandoning it at level 90, but not because it wasn't strong, but because it didn't function exactly the way I wanted it to.
Okay.
And then by the time I had changed over to the, like, obvious setup, there was already, like, 50 other build guides out for that one. Between when I started the character and when I was, like, finishing it, there were already, like, 50 other people doing it. I was like, where the hell's covered now? This isn't going to add value, so I'm going to move on.
Right.
But it was really good. But so the extra thing that I did is I still have a button. It's poison concoction.
Right.
Poison concoction scales with plus levels at a disgusting rate. And most importantly, doesn't have a mana cost, which is a huge deal. If you pump your skill up to level 30, you may have noticed that the mana cost is absolutely insane. Poison concoction doesn't have that downside. So that's great. However, doesn't have very much clear. It's just a little area where you kill stuff and then that's it. And then I got these boots called Corpse Wade, I think they're called.
Oh, I have those.
Yeah. And so what they do is they detonate or explode or consume a corpse, any corpse, and then put out a gigantic poison cloud that's base damage is 41% of the mob's life before scaling.
Oh, okay.
And so you make a Pathfinder, you get it to have like 6 stacks of poison, and then you walk in, you kill up mob, and then you just go for a jog, and you're just Blighteous Fire, essentially. Like, as long as one thing has died on your screen,
right,
you're just Blighteous Fire. It's just there's poison clouds everywhere and you just walk around and everything dies without really even your interaction. So much so that if you can bring a friend into the boss room, if you can just kite yourself a friend into the boss room, every map boss goes empty.
Jeez, really? That's crazy.
So it's fantastic. The great news is that because of how well poison concoction scales its raw damage, if you actually invest into it, you get a good Widow Hail, you get a great Quiver, you can have that thing doing so high single target damage, it can also kill all the pinnacle bosses. So you can have an auto-walking build that also kills the pinnacle bosses that costs no mana. The difference that I did is I made it CI because right now CI is busted. And if you're not CI, you die. And if you are CI, you don't die. So almost every build I make is going to be CI until that gets addressed.
Are you doing that on your monk? I saw you were starting to scale energy shield a bit, but it wasn't CI.
I was CI almost immediately.
You were CI?
As soon as it could be.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It sets it's HP to 1, right? I swear I saw in the video you had actual life, and I was like, well, that's interesting. Balor appears to be going a life build.
So two things about that. That's a display issue. If you go into game settings and you do that thing where you hide reserved life, then it says I have one, instead of saying 1 out of 1 energy shield, it says one, or life, it says 1 out of... however much energy shield you have, it displays that as your life value.
Oh my God.
Looks like I have a bunch of life. It says I have 1 out of 4,700 life.
Yes.
It's just a display issue. It's CI. It has 1.
Okay. So that makes sense. I wonder if it's worth changing my monk into that then. It
100% is because, and I do not over-exaggerate, 80% of the on-death things that one-shot you are chaos. If you are CI, you are immune.
Yes.
And the chaos damage is scaling for those on-death effects is so high that even if you have 4,000 energy shield over 1,500 life and your chaos res capped, most of those on-death effects will still kill you because without CI, it does double damage to energy shield and then the regular damage to life. And you will just still die to that on-death effect. If you want to stop on dying to on-death effects, you have to go CI. That's bad. On-death effects need to be addressed. This isn't the right solution. It should not be every single build in the world go Chaos Inoculation. But for right now, at least until probably around the 10th of January, I'm imagining, I don't expect anything to change. So for now, if you can do CI, go CI.
Yeah. Always. I think that'll be my solution on the build, because I'm just woefully incompetent when it comes to dodging those volatile plants. The crystals. They removed the crystals. Those were my bane quite a few times. Thank you, GGG. The plants are still getting me somehow, even though there's a delay. Somehow, you're right. Like, I'll stop moving, and that's when it explodes on me. The player decision plus 0.5 seconds, that's totally on point. Yeah,
it's however long you think it is, plus half a second.
Yeah, there we go.
Because you will die exactly half a second after you think you're safe every time. I don't know how they've done that, but they've made it so that the client's in your brain for those on-death effects.
Yeah.
You go, I'll wait out here, I'll move around. Okay, nothing's exploded, I'm definitely safe, I'm going to run in and pick up that loot. Oh, loot. Oh, I'm dead.
100%, dude. Now, you're on build number 3 of Early Access so far, and you said you're probably going to play for a lot longer. Now, we know how some people choose builds. You know, they go to the bug report section of the forum, and they're like, all right, let's find one of these that's not going to be fixed in the next little while. How do you choose which build you'd like to make next?
So it's different. What I'm doing now is different from what I did in Pee Wee 1.
Right.
Because in Pee Wee 1, after 30,000 hours, I feel like there's no way I know everything, right? I don't think I know everything. I don't think anybody knows everything. The closest might be Ben, but even Ben doesn't know everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I know enough that what I'm looking for is I'm looking for something new slash powerful or something that does the job I'm after. I'm either looking for something new that isn't covered, that looks strong, or I'm looking for a specific mechanic that I want to involve with and then make a build to do that.
Yeah.
In PoE 2, I just want to play every single class until it's above level 90, because what I find is that I don't know almost everything. And as far as I can tell, the best way that I can get as much knowledge as possible will be to play absolutely everything until at least level 90. So that I've got some tertiary knowledge in every part of the game. I already know what my next character is, and it's upsetting to me, and I kind of don't want to make it, but I will.
Ooh, what is it? I was going to ask what your last character class would be, but what is your next one?
Oh, my next one would be what my last one would be.
Oh.
So, I had up on my stream a goal that I never thought we would hit, which was for the Partner Plus program.
Yeah.
Because that program can't be contributed towards from any of the gifted subs or primes or anything like that. So all the PoE people blew up huge. We've all had a great time. It's been absolutely fantastic. Thank you to everybody. Absolutely amazing. But specifically for the Partner Plus program, absolutely none of the contributions from primes or gifted subs count towards it at all. So it's like a completely separate thing. It only counts recurring paid subs. So that bar for most people didn't really move very much. It might have gone up a little, but it went up like 20%, whereas your sub count went up like 200%, right?
Yeah.
But that bar didn't really move, but that was a goal. You have to hit it 3 months in a row. This is our first month ever hitting it. But I said, if I hit that, I will make a proper mace slammer, which I am anti-melee. Monk does not count as melee. This is insane. But I'm I never play melee in PoE 1. I make fun of people who bring sticks to gunfights. I don't want to, that's not a thing that I was interested in. It would have been right at the end of my list. It'd have been okay, I've played everything in the game. It's time to play these shitty slammers. I'm going to have to do this. But now it's my next build because we hit that goal. So now I have to do it. But not only do I have to do it, I have to keep playing it for at least 5 days. I can't just give up. And I already told people I'm going to find a way to make it good, which could end up being a lie. We'll see.
Dude, it'll be good. You'll find a way. There are some cool mace builds out there right now. You could even turn it into like a Warcry build or something. Oh, come on. Just don't stack armor. You can path all the way to Chaos Inoculation. Okay, just like
For 80% of the game, your mace build is better off putting supports in and using its auto attack.
I have seen that.
So
it's
like,
pretty good. I will say, I like Rolling Slam. I'm personally a Rolling Slam enjoyer. I'm in Act 3 on my warrior right now. It's a feel-good ability if you can get past the initial funkiness. So
there are some good things, like the Cry build looks really, really good, and some Totem builds look really good and have promise. Ooh. Neither of those I can do, though, because of the goal was hit stuff with mace. So I don't get to cheat, I don't get to do the Cry thing, and I don't get to do the totems. Not that I couldn't bring a Cry or bring a totem, but they can't be the main.
That makes sense.
Like if there's a totem I can throw down to do extra single target while I'm fighting is fine. Mm. A Cry that like supports my attacks or empowers them, that sort of thing is fine. But I can't just be a Cry build, and I can't just be a totem build.
I've heard that dual wielding with giant blood is not a way to go, unfortunately. Heard that it's pretty bad,
but that's what I want to do. I actually want one weapon.
It might be good. I've heard like shield and then a two-handed mace is that's the way to go. Yeah,
that's what I want to do. Shield and one hand, two-handed.
Yeah, that's gonna be good. Yeah, maybe a big sunder. You know, 3.5 second wind-up time. You could try that out.
Yeah,
let's do it together. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000.
And now we do damage.
That's great. Big. That do a lot of damage in that time, dude.
if the boss doesn't move.
True. And some of those bosses are very speedy, like the fortress boss. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. The trick when you're fighting a boss with that build might be, okay, here he is. Sunder. Okay, please dodge. Please dodge over there. Please dodge over. Yes, he jumped over there. Boom, he got a hit.
Oh, jeez. God. We'll see how it feels. I did Jamanra in Act 2. Such a different feeling compared to my monk. Oh my gosh, on the warrior. Like, what a freaking battle that was. Oh my gosh. Just wait until you get there. It's fun. It's a very different experience. It's probably the closest to the Souls-like experience that, you know, many people claim PoE2 is. So, yeah, enjoy it.
I do think it's just a balancing issue.
Yeah,
a lot of those skills look so cool. The big issue to me looks like the plus attack time rather than just having it be a slow attack. Mm-hmm. Like if you want it to be a slow attack, you can make it 70% of my attack speed or 50% of my attack speed or 20% of my attack speed. But when you have a plus flat value, it's unscalable. No matter what I do, it'll always take at least this amount of time. No matter how good my gear gets, it'll always take. Plus flat seems like a terrible...
Right.
I would much rather they be like, hey, I just want this to scale off only 30% of my base attack speed. Whatever like the percentages where you're still like, this is still a slow, hard hit. But it's then becomes like a scalable stat that I can still decide to invest into. If I want to go out of my way to get 60% attack speed so that I attack 20% faster because I'm only benefiting from, you know, a third of it, well, that should be an avenue I'm allowed to take. Whether that's the best DPS or not is a different question because, like if I'm only benefiting from 20% of the stat, then probably scaling attack speed is not going to be the best damage.
Right.
But it might make it feel better, and I might choose to do less damage to have a smoother build.
Exactly.
And that's something I feel like I should be allowed to do.
Yeah, I think the trade-offs are there in a lot of other parts of the game. Like with the spirit as a mechanic and all the things you can do with that, they're all about the cost-benefit. I feel like it should be scalable in some way for these mace abilities. And I'm really hoping, I don't want it to feel just like the quarterstaff, but just a little bit more freedom of movement, I feel like, with the mace would be nice. Because being able, like with WASD, being able to always be in full control of your character is great. And yes, you can dodge out of these long wind-ups and everything with the mace. Do you want to dodge out of it? Though. Because then nothing happens.
Yeah, here's the thing that's a little crazy to me, though. I start up with a minion build. where I had to actively cast spells, curses, everything. Actually, by the way, if you haven't played a minion build yet,
I haven't.
It's nothing like PoE 1. It's definitely significantly more active. I have several buttons. I'm pressing buttons. I want to be active with them. Cool. I could play it super passively, but if I did that, I would be dealing half or less the amount of damage. So that is not the play.
Wow.
You want to be active. They did it in such a way that I started playing very passively and then gradually started adding more things into the build and was happy about it when I did it. And the whole time, every time I did it, I was like, congratulations, GGG, you got me. I added an extra button and I'm happy about it. You win. so it's quite a bit better now than in PoE 1 if you were like anti-passive gameplay. Right. And if you're like, I don't want to play minions because it's just boring. Well, you have a lot of buttons to press now. Wait. And you can choose to press even more buttons and do better and more damage. And you can choose to press less buttons when you're in, let's say, easier content. If I jumped back into tier 10 maps, I could run around without pressing anything and my stuff would kill stuff. But if I jump into higher content, I better press those extra buttons.
Yeah.
But anyway, I started with that. I could always move while casting my things. Then I've got rangers with bows and mercenaries with crossbows who are both ranged, blowing stuff up from far away while strafing around mobs.
Keep going, Balor.
Now I have the monk. Now the monk is locked into place. However, its attacks are so quick and most of them come with gap closers, and it has this ultimate mobility where it's real easy for me to go zip into the fight, drop bell, boom, 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 boom. Wait, need to be over there. Fuck it, I'm over there now. Now it's safe. I can do these zip in and out. Yeah, I'm locked in place, but it doesn't feel locked in place. Then you get the warriors who not only have no mobility and move very slowly, but also can't move while attacking. Now I have to play a melee build who can't move. That doesn't make sense. Why can my mace warrior not sidestep while attacking? He should be able to sidestep while attacking. The attack should be aimed at where I clicked it. So if I click here, that's where the attack should stay aimed. But I should be able to go, oh, I wanted to move over here, and it'll still hit that bit I clicked. Right? So that way I can still walk. It the same deal as all of the other skills right now. I walk at a slower speed while the animation of hit is happening because swinging a two-handed axe over my head while walking sideways is going to impact my ability to walk sideways quickly. Yep. But stopping me entirely doesn't make sense. Everyone else gets some freedom of movement. It's not even that quick. Like when you're playing a bow or a crossbow, like when you start attacking, you do slow down. You go, yeah, I'm going to attack. Yeah, I'm going to attack. Right? And so that's fine. It feels great. Give that exact thing to the melee users. They've still got that slow, long wind up. But why do they have to stand still? I have to be in melee range and stand still? Mm-hmm. And wait 3 to 5 business days for my damage to appear? Uh-huh. I want, give me like the movement.
With the supercharged slam. Have you played Smash before, Balor?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, people who have played Smash, there's a character called King DDD where he can turn his hammer into this supercharged hammer and he walks really slow like this. I'm imagining if the warrior could do that with supercharged slam, like move at a snail's pace, but move while charging up the supercharged slam. Oh, it would feel so much better. And it is a design choice. They're planting you in place with everything except like Stampede and Leap Slam and Rolling Slam. But everything else, you're pretty dang stationary. I do hope they add a little bit of movement there or the ability to strafe a bit, just like the crossbow, just like the ranger, just like how the monk feels, just Tempest Flurry or leaping around. They have built a game in which movement feels really, really good and you're incentivized to continue moving around. Embrace it, please.
Yeah, and plus, it does slow you quite a bit to attack. It feels a lot less impactful when you're a crossbow or a bow build because your attack is just thump. So you, like, slow down for a second, and then you're off at speed. Warrior would still be at a great movement disadvantage because your attack is going to take 2.5 seconds, and you're going to be movement slowed for that entire time.
Yes.
So it's not like you're going to suddenly feel like a zoomy mace character, which is fine because you probably shouldn't. That would go against the feeling of maces. I get the idea, like the thematic behind it. Big, slow warrior, huge hit, does damage, boom.
Definitely.
Bam, bam. I get it, but like complete locking movement doesn't feel right in this game compared to everybody else. The complete locking of movement doesn't feel like a thing that should stay.
Yeah, 100% agree with that take. Hopefully we see some changes, probably not in the near future, but maybe in that first content patch when they release the Druid or the Huntress into the game, man. Oh, I'm so excited for those.
Oh, Druid, I'm so excited for.
I know, dude. I've wanted to play that when we went out to LA. It was in the trailer for the controller thing.
And then we didn't get it.
Oh my God, we're going to play Druid. And then
and then it wasn't there.
No, not Druid, man. Sorry. And I was crushed. Soon we'll be able to play Druid, you know, probably 2-3 months. We're over an hour now, and my wife tapped at the door. So I'd like to ask you one more question about it. We got to chat again because this flew freaking by way too fast.
I could do this for 2 more hours easily.
I know. I'm so sorry.
It's so good.
So what are you most looking forward to in Path of Exile 2's early access? In the next 6 to 12 months, maybe longer if they have to delay the 1.0. Is there something, one little thing that you are really chomping at the bit to see in the game?
Oh man, to pick one thing is impossible. What?
Maybe not one thing. An array of things. You can do the hat thing we did earlier.
It's the rest of the ascendancies.
Yeah.
For those, anyone who... I tweeted a picture right after it leaked started of the big picture of like all the ascendancies that we were going to have and then just filled in the ones that we did have. Everyone understands that we've only got 12 and there's 24 missing. But when you look at that image, it hits different. We have 1/3 of the game right now. I don't know how to pick what I'm excited for to come up next because I have barely a fraction of the game in existence right now. There's more things to be excited about that we don't even know exist than there are things in the game right now.
That's true.
And so my favorite sentence I've heard so far about PoE 2 actually came from Zizeran, and I've been copying it everywhere because it's my favorite sentence to say, which is it's really important to remember no matter how much you like PoE 2, or no matter how much you're disliking PoE2, PoE2 currently right now is in the worst state it will ever be in. Ever. This is as bad as it can get. It's only up from here.
It's a powerful sentiment. Powerful statement. I saw somebody write that. They must have stole it from Ziz. Oh my goodness, that Redditor. How dare they? A good statement.
Yeah,
I mean, exhale. Wow, crazy. There's a lot to go. They kept building on PoE1 for over a decade. This is just the beginning of PoE2, and it is a damn fine beginning for a lot of us. So there's a lot of game to be played, a lot of game to be had. Yeah. It's going to be really, really fun.
Oof. Oh, man. I could talk about this game for hours. There's no limit.
All right. Well, I am going to have to lead you out, Balor. Balor, man, where should the people look for you most? Is it Twitch? Is it YouTube? Is it both?
It's always Twitch. Eventually, I'll start dual streaming again, but for now, it's always Twitch. But I'm everywhere. And if you just type Balor Mage into Google, you'll see every page, and they're all me.
Beautiful. By the way, I didn't ask you, Balor. Is Balor Mage a reference to the Dungeons & Dragons Balor creature?
No, although it is also that, apparently. Irish mythology is where it came from to begin with.
Oh, it did. What is it in Irish mythology?
He's a big one-eyed god who wears a patch over his eye. And if he lifts the patch up and looks at you, you die.
Whoa. Balor cosplay when? Why have you not done this?
Cosplay seems like a lot of work.
Dude, come on. You already have beautiful fingernails. You got the hair. You can do a Balor cosplay.
I mean, I could, but I probably won't.
Okay. You could do a sub goal for next league launch. There you go, for the Partner Plus program. Dress up as Balor. Good one.
Maybe.
Big one eye on the center of your forehead. It would be good. I think it would make people, you know, talk and draw people in to the stream wondering what you might be. Be good. Okay, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to this Path of Exile 2 podcast. Make sure to check Balor Mage out on YouTube and, most importantly, Twitch. If you haven't followed him already, make sure you go and follow him right now. Balor, it has been a pleasure. We will have to chat again in a few months' time about Path of Exile 2 Early Access. See how many builds you go through. If you do get to face all the pinnacles in your playtime.
Oh, I will, even if it costs me money.
Okay. Game money, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
It's always game money.
Yeah. Okay.
That's good. The only money that matters.
Thanks so much, man. We'll chat later.
Yep.
All right, bye.